Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 was involved, shared with me the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Maybe some of you can say the same thing. It was an almost shocking truth to me. I was 11 years old at the time, but it was almost a shocking truth to me that salvation had nothing to do with works. That was shocking to me. Maybe it was for you as well when you were saved. And understanding the grace of God was crucial. Do you know that when you, as a believer, share your faith, you're sharing the gospel with someone who is not yet saved? Now, the important truth is all about Jesus and what he's done for that person. But the issue in the conversation will always come down to grace versus works. Every time. It is human nature, sin, and it is satanic deception to get people to think that there's something they have to contribute, offer, do in some way to be saved. And then when they hear it's all of grace, then they concoct these ridiculous accusations against us, like, well, that's just easy believism. That's too easy. Okay, so how hard do you want to make it? It's too easy. Yeah, but you know what? Do you realize the other way is impossible? It's not difficult. It's impossible. So this is crucial. We're not examining it this morning, but Romans 11:6 says, if it is by grace, it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. In other words, grace and works, when it comes to salvation, are two opposing principles. They are. They're two opposing principles. Now, they're not enemies of one another, but it's just you have to learn and get cause and effect right. And that's what Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 do for us as we're looking at them this morning. Two statements in these verses which serve as supporting reasons for God alone receiving glory. We looked at these in context last time. Going to look at these same two statements now today in light of this issue of grace versus works. The first statement is the statement of our salvation, verses 8 and 9. These verses, I think, are very familiar to most of you. The statement of our salvation. By the way, a good and valid way to speak and have a discussion with someone else about the gospel is to just take one passage, like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where we are right now, and say, we are just going to keep talking about these same two verses over and over and over again until you get it. They say, well, but what about this verse over here? Say, we'll look at that verse over there once we agree on what this says. Right here. And many people have been led to Christ from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 just by taking that approach. And there are other verses like that that you can do it with as well. The statement of our salvation. Here's the statement in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, let me give you a very, very literal translation of that. Because it is on the basis of grace you have been saved by trusting. Because on the basis of grace you've been saved by trusting. What did I just say? I just said, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Now, the elements of this statement, beginning in verse 8, are grace, saved, and faith. The whole statement is around those three. Grace. Kariti is the form here. It's a dative of cause. It's from the Greek word charis, and that's an important word to us because we've always been called grace or charis. And here's the word, by grace, charis. We've seen this word throughout chapter 1, and here in chapter 2, we saw it earlier in verse 5. Grace. Grace is undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. Undeserved, unmerited favor. In its historical usage, undeserved favor granted by a benefactor or a patron. So it's given freely. That's grace. And grace here in this statement is the cause. What causes your salvation? The grace of God. The grace of God. And everything we've seen throughout chapter 1 in Ephesians is consistent with that. You know, people like to argue about election and predestination. It's really just another way of saying grace. It really is. It's the grace of God. If it isn't that, then what is it? So, God's grace, the cause of salvation, God granting undeserved, unmerited favor, saved in verse 8. Now, look carefully, and some of our versions, like I read from in the New American Standard, have this: have been saved. And that is correct. It's not just are saved. Have been saved. The word saved, sosmenoi, and I won't belabor that word because most of you are familiar with being saved. But that word is a perfect passive participle. Say, well, okay, what's that all about? That it's in the perfect tense means this is past completed action. You have been saved once and for all. Past completed action. For by grace you have been saved. And it's passive because it's not something that you do. It's something that is done to you. You have been saved. It's not by grace you saved yourself. No. It's by grace God saved you. You've been saved. God is the operator on this. You are the receiver. By grace, you have been saved. It's completed. And that is through or by faith. This is the means. Grace is the cause. Faith is the means of receiving salvation. Pisteos, it means believing or trusting or faith. Believing, trusting, faith. By the way, it doesn't mean committing, joining, surrendering, turning, dedicating. It means believing. Remember, grace and works are opposing principles. And the only means of receiving grace that will not in some way be works is faith. That's it. Faith is the means. And you can think of, I mean, you hear all kinds of things where, you know, they say, well, the gospel's being preached, and people say things like, believe and. Do you realize the moment you add an and to believe, you just added works to the gospel and perverted it? Like, turn from your sin and believe. Well, do you know what? An unsaved person can't turn from their sin. They're dead in sin. They can't turn from it. Don't add turning from sin or repenting of sin to the gospel, or you just perverted the gospel. You made it works. That's a false gospel, and it doesn't save. Say, well, believe and give your life to Christ. Well, you just added works to the gospel. Salvation isn't something you give, it's something you receive. They will believe and commit your life to Christ. Will you commit? That's a work. Well, believe and become a Christ follower. No, following Jesus is a matter of discipleship, not a matter of salvation. You don't get saved by becoming a Christ follower. You get saved by believing. That's it. Anybody who adds anything else to that is preaching a false gospel. And I want to tell you, it is the vast majority of evangelical preachers these days who are doing it. By grace, you're saved through faith. It could not be simpler. Now, the descriptions of this statement, continuing in verse 8 and 9, make this very clear. Verse 8, not of yourselves. And it says, that not of yourselves. And the word that refers to the whole statement at the beginning of verse 8. Well, what's the statement? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that, well, what is that? Being saved by grace through faith, right? Being saved by grace through faith is not of yourselves. Not of yourselves is talking about the source. It's talking about the source of grace. It's talking about the source of salvation. It's talking about the source of faith. Grace does not come from us. Right? Salvation does not come from us. Faith does not come from us. It's not of ourselves. Being saved by grace through faith is not of ourselves. That couldn't be clearer, could it? Not of ourselves. Well, if it's not of ourselves, what is the source? Continuing in verse 8, it is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Is grace the gift of God? Well, that's a redundancy, isn't it? Grace is the gift of God. Is salvation the gift of God? Yes. Is faith the gift of God? Yes. It's the gift of God. God is the source. The word for gift in and of itself implies that it's a free gift. You can see that very clearly in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The free gift. It's the gift of God. And verse 9 says, it's not of works. What's not of works? Grace is not of works. Being saved is not of works. And faith is not of works. Not of works. I almost chuckle sometimes when people say to me, well, what does that say in the Greek? Not of works. In Greek, it's not of works. Translated into any language you want, it's not of works. And anyone who seeks to make it in some way of works, adding some work, whether it's their personal good actions or whether it's some religious thing, I have to do religious deeds or, you know, church sounding things in order to merit my salvation. Anyone who adds works is not saved. Anyone who's communicating the message of the gospel and adds works is perverting the gospel and is teaching a message that does not save. Even if 10,000 people come forward in the meeting and say, I just got saved, they didn't. They didn't. That should make this very important to us. Not of works. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. To the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And you know we could go on throughout the New Testament. Not of works. Grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And all of that in verse 9 is so that no one may boast. We talked about that last time. The glory is all God's. It's all God's. Why? He did it all. He provided it all. It's all of Him. We contributed nothing to this. Nothing. So it's not of works. Well then, and this goes to the argument that some bring up. By the way, I don't know any genuine believer who really thinks this way. But there are people who say, oh yeah, well then you can just believe and doesn't matter how you live and you can live like the devil and do all kinds of bad works and still go to heaven. I don't know. Is there any genuine believer who really thinks that way? I've never met one. If it's you, you can correct me afterwards. But I've never met one. It's a vain argument, really. But is the argument even true? So, verse 10, we come to the second statement. And it's the statement of our new creation. Verse 10, here's the statement. Because we are His workmanship, having been created. We're His workmanship. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by His. We're His workmanship. The elements of this statement in verse 10, His, not ours. Workmanship, it's the word poiema in Greek. Workmanship is a great translation, handiwork, creation, masterpiece. You could even say poem. We are God's masterpiece. He did the gracious work of salvation. He chose you. He planned it all. He sent His Son who came and died to pay the price and purchase your salvation, your forgiveness. He rose again. All of that was His workmanship, and through it He made you His workmanship as a believer. Verse 10 says, having been created. That is also passive in voice. We're talking here about the new creation that happens in your salvation. What 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is what? New creature, new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's in Christ as a new creation. That's what verse 10 is talking about. We are, well, who's the we? Believers. Not every human being. Unsaved people are not yet created in Christ Jesus. This is in Christ Jesus, verse 10 says. So this is for believers. And this new creation being made his workmanship is for what purpose? For good works. For good works. Now, the word for good, agathos, it has to do with works that glorify God. Works that please God. This is not relative good works. This is not even good as opposed to bad in the sense that you usually think of it. This is eternally valuable versus worthless. You're created in Christ Jesus for eternally valuable works as opposed to worthless works. You're created in Christ Jesus for works that honor God, that please God. You do remember, an unsaved person cannot do any works that please God or honor God. Can't do them. Why? They're dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 1. For genuine good works that honor God. Now, the description of this statement we have still in verse 10, which God prepared beforehand. What did God prepare beforehand? He prepared beforehand your good works that will honor and glorify Him. That's what it says. This goes along with what we've seen in chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us in Him from before the foundation of the world. Chapter 1, verse 5, He predestined us to adoption as sons. Chapter 1, verse 11, having been predestined according to His purpose. What did God predestine? Say, well, He chose me to be saved. Yeah? But that's not even close to all. Do you know that? He also predestined my good works that will honor and glorify Him. By the way, without that, I couldn't do any. He did it. He prepared them beforehand. Works, therefore, we've clearly seen in verses 8 and 9, works are in no way the cause of our salvation. Right? They're not even the partial cause. They're not even a little bit of the cause. Works are not the cause of our salvation. But, verse 10, works are the result of our salvation. And those works are works that honor and please God. Verse 10 in the description says, so that we would walk in them. And now if you take the whole context, you see how Paul has completed the loop. Back in chapter 2, verse 2, in which you formerly, what? Walked. Verses 2 and 3 are talking about your former walk. Your walk, what your lifestyle was like before you were saved, when you were dead in sin. But now, chapter 2, verse 10, is talking about your new walk. Your new walk is in those works that God has prepared beforehand for you to do. God chose you, prepared you in your salvation as His masterpiece. Now, don't go around and say, well, I'm a masterpiece. Yeah, you are, and you ought to feel good about it. But God gets all the credit for it. He did it. You're His masterpiece, prepared by Him to beautify Him, to give Him honor, to give Him glory, to portray His glory, His beauty. So, works are not the enemy of grace, even though they're an opposing principle in relationship to salvation. Works are the friend of grace, like a child is a friend of a parent. The child doesn't cause the parent. It's the other way around. But the child is the result. Works are the result. Not relative, emotional, good works, but good works that bring enhancement to God's being, to God's character. They bring enhancement to that. And through that, through the testimony of that, others can see the work of God, the masterpiece of God for His glory. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these